Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's about empowerment. That's what we're going to do. Thanks, Frank. Frank's all ready to go. I'm ready to go. We're here on the American Voice Radio Network, and thanks for joining us. We are going to be talking about the first part of the show, some women's health issues, and they have a new drug that they want to release for osteoporosis for bones. So we're going to talk about that, and we have some other things in our quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I don't know about you, but I'm hitting the knees and I'm seeking the Lord's face because I'm minding the time because it grows short. And today's devotional puts us, in Ecclesiastes 12, and it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Yeah, that's the beginning of knowledge, fear of the Lord, see. And all is vanity, according to King Solomon. So seek the Lord's face, and he is the way. You'll never regret it. And you'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That's better than hearing, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You don't want to hear that. Oh, man, that should put chills up and down your spine to hear that one. So you want to hear the other one, enter into your rest, kingdom of God, good and faithful servant. That's what I'm hoping to hear, and I'm working on that, and I hope you are too. Mind the time, it grows short, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Okay, thanks, Franco. See you up in the quacker. Let's see. There was this analysis. Let's see. They did this analysis. It was financial on a pandemic, how it affected financial status among the masses. So what they found was the two world's richest individuals gained a lot of wealth during the Wuhan coronavirus pandemic last year. This is an analysis of the Americans for Tax Fairness. This is who did this. They said Bezos holds the top spot of $188.6 billion, while Musk has the second spot at $181 billion. So they did this analysis, and they said the billionaires of the U.S. have increased their wealth by 38.6% since the start of the pandemic. During the same period, 18 million Americans remain jobless, 6.2 million are unemployed, and hundreds of thousands of small businesses have been forced to close. So the analysis is showing a massive gap in this economic gains for the rich and the economic losses for the poor between the wealthiest people in the country and the working and middle class people in America that have been so severely impacted by the pandemic induced crisis. Oh, yeah. So that's a stark, stark comparison. All right, last but not least in the quack report, green materials are in the news. Scientists use algae from the ocean to make light carbon fiber. Algae is very diverse. It's an aquatic organism capable of producing oxygen and absorbing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. But scientists have been studying algae for more potential sources for things like fuel. And they've been exploring algae's immense potential in the biotechnology field. So in the algae technical facility at the Technical University of Munich in Germany, a team of researchers there and biotechnology professor Thomas Bruck, he found that algae could be used as an eco-friendly material for making polysaccharonic trite, or PAN. It's 90% of today's carbon fiber production is what that is. So there's a great demand, they say, for carbon fibers, especially in aerospace and construction industries, because it's light and it's stronger than steel. But the carbon fiber is right now produced almost exclusively from resources like crude oil or natural gas, and it can be expensive. So if they had a more eco-friendly material like algae, the scientists think that they can produce a more environmentally friendly version of carbon fiber. So you can manufacture your aircraft components, reinforce your infrastructures, produce light or high-performance vehicles, among other things. So they're looking to algae. And, well, simple me, I just put blue-green algae in my body food mix and strengthens my body. That's what I like about it. So, yeah, strengthen the eco-friendly aircraft industry, and I'll just strengthen my body, thanks. And that wraps the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okie dokie. We're going to be talking about some women's health issues, especially, you know, our bones. Nobody, I think, out there considers some of the options. They just run to the doctor and they get the latest and greatest drugs. So we're going to talk about a new drug that they have out, because the medical establishment often writes about the latest, you know, test or the latest drug for women's health, and often focuses on bone health. And Purdue University is claiming now to have this new drug for osteoporosis and a calcium-related disorder. So we're going to check it out. So this is a study that came out in January 2021, and Purdue University published their findings in the Journal of Biophysical, and they claim to have discovered a novel new drug with fewer side effects than the drugs previously prescribed for bone loss osteoporosis. I don't know if you've heard about those drugs, Fosamax, Boniva, and some of these others. They have very bad side effects, and people that are educated on those drugs tend to not want to take them. But the research was sponsored on this new drug by the National Institute of Health. So what is this new drug? Well, it's a remake of a peptide drug. It's a remake of a peptide drug already manufactured, but the researchers claim to have stabilized the drug with a human amino acid peptide hormone, which is made by the thyroid gland in humans. So it's called calcitrinin. It's your amino acid peptide hormone. They also find this in fish, reptiles, birds, and mammals. Now, according to the research, the calcitrinin peptide hormone releases or increases the effectiveness of their drug remake. Well, let's talk about it in humans. So calcitrinin in humans is a hormone that is involved in the calcium homeostasis. So how this drug works on osteoporosis is it inhibits bone reabsorption, supposedly to increase the bone mass. So the problem with this theory is that human calcitrinin encounters fibrillation in equinus, which means there is a malfunction reducing the efficiency when the drug is in a therapeutic use. So to try to counter this effect, the researchers use calcitrinin from salmon, supposedly reducing the malfunction slightly enough, but it also reduces the potency, and therefore you have less side effects. So this is a form of a peptide drug is what it is. So many, let's just look at this quote from Elizabeth Topp, Purdue. She says, many promising new peptide drugs tend to form fibrous, and this technology provides a way to stabilize them in a reversible way to stabilize the and modify outcomes. Well, let's look at some peptide drugs, just to give you some examples. Peptide drugs are on the market, and they tend to isolate and force a body function, such as your diabetic drugs. Science is also taking peptides from beetroot now to make drugs for things like inflammation. But here are a few examples of your peptide drugs. One is called nasteride, or nasirtaride. It's used to treat acute heart failure. Is what it's used for that. Also, there's another drug called sirolimus. It's basically 10 amino acids that they add to drug therapies. And then bentromide, which is a peptide used in drug screening for things like pancreatic cancer. Exenaride is a diabetic med. And then gonrodinin is an injectable hormone drug. Enfumteride is an HIV drug inhibitor. Vancomycin, you probably heard that one. That was antibiotic that usually also treats inflammation. And then lastly, icatibant. It's a used to treat people with a lot of fluid edema around the heart. So those are kind of a few examples of your peptide related drugs. So strong bones, though, and strong teeth really is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to things that we associate with strong bones as far as a nutrient like calcium. So I've talked about calcium numerous times and how it also helps your immune system to operate. And the reason is that our body cells need organic calcium to communicate and send signals through our body. So in other words, calcium is necessary for normal cell function, and without that, there's this cascade effect of failure involving hormones, your blood system, your nervous system, your muscular system, your bone system, and more. So what medicine is just like kind of had tunnel vision here, and they're just trying to isolate, trying to have a drug to force a function with a peptide hormone, and it's just not a lasting solution. So the body goes, the body really doesn't have adequate calcium that it can put us, it can put us at risk if we don't have adequate calcium. And we can develop all kinds of diseases. Cow's milk basically will have about 17% calcium, but the body can only absorb a fraction of that because it doesn't have the minerals that normally come with calcium for uptake in plants. So your plant-based calcium is the more whole food chemistry that the body requires for calcium. So animal calcium is really not going to be fitting the bill. So drugs, you want to be careful with what you're doing with regards to, what kind of calcium supplements you're taking. It's real important to make sure that you're getting the balanced chemistry that you would find in a whole food source. So important to know that. So basically what we have here is chemistry from science trying to reinvent the wheel. And so we're not going to find that in cow's milk, the right calcium balance. So animal calcium really is a poor source of calcium, and it's really the number one food source for allergies in humans. So cow's milk is really processed. The good bacteria, the good flora is removed and destroyed, but the bad bacteria is not. So hormones and antibiotics and steroids and a host of other drugs are still kind of detectable in a finished milk product sold in the stores. So you got a lot of drug residues in there that will really further deplete your calcium. So some health conditions that we can develop due to low calcium would be things like, kidney failure, thyroid diseases, autoimmune diseases, digestive disorders. If we have a high intake of processed salt, it will decrease our calcium, so we got to watch that. We'll also decrease our magnesium will be low, and we'll be deficient in that, and also our vitamin D. So let's look at some of the calcium deficiencies, because there's a difference. There's really a big difference between low calcium and being critically deficient in calcium. So some of the symptoms associated with very low calcium levels would be you'll have muscle spasms in your legs. You may have fainting, chest pains, heart failure, numbness and tingling near your mouth, fingers, or toes, wheezing, difficulty swallowing, voice changes. You may have spasms over the larynx, irritability, depression, anxiety, personality changes, impaired learning ability, fatigue, seizures, hair and nail problems, psoriasis, dry skin, chronic itching, tooth decay, cataracts, and osteoporosis. So let's look at some mineral treatments, because even if you wonder why some physicians kind of recommend to patients, well, you know, take your calcium supplement while you're on our drugs. Well, it's kind of weird because some of the prescribed medicines create the calcium deficiency to begin with. So the doctors are trying to compensate for that while telling their patients go get a supplement. But not all calcium supplements are the same and are good for you. So here is a list of, it's a brief list of some of the drugs that can kind of reduce your calcium levels in your body. Steroids like prednisone and cortisone, phenobarbital for things like epilepsy, hormone antagonist drugs like for prostate, endometriosis, and infertility issues, aromatase inhibitors, these are things for breast cancer, antacids for heartburn, chemotherapy drugs, drugs for organ transplants. This tends to strip the immune system of its calcium because it suppresses your immune system response. So that's what the immune inhibitors do. Heparin, usually blood clot drug, will reduce your calcium. Loop diuretics, usually given for congestive heart and kidney failure. Drugs for contraception, like your birth control pills, will reduce your calcium. Drugs for rheumatoid arthritis, diabetic medicines, and your thyroid cancer drugs kind of will just, you know, critically reduce your calcium. Now, there are some whole foods with calcium that you definitely want to tap into that are really great for you. And we're going to talk about those. Some of the really good things that you can, you know, just pepper into the diet on a regular basis can build up your calcium, your and natural calcium levels. Salmon, sardines, kale, collard greens, broccoli, mustard greens, turnip greens, bok choy, sesame seeds. Fruits and vegetables, pretty much in general, will have calcium, as well as sunflower seeds and millet and oats. So those are the things that you are what you eat, and food is your medicine. And that comes from way back in the ancient world. So let's look at some herbs that also contain some whole food calcium. So the herbs that I like to use that contain a lot of whole food calcium and also preserves the proper chemistry balance there for calcium. So in order for the body to absorb the calcium properly, it has to have two parts of calcium associated with one part of boron, one part of magnesium. So when you look at your foods, if the foods have calcium, it will have that ratio there. So it's there for a reason. Calcium has to have those required minerals for uptake and absorption, or you're not going to get the calcium that you need. So here are the herbs that I like to use, really potent ones: horsetail, comfrey, lobelia, and oatstraw. Those are the ones I like to use, and I put them all in my calcium liquid formula, which you'll find at the powerherbs.com website by Apothecary Herbs. So these herbs will always have those two parts calcium, one part boron and magnesium profile. And these are your minerals necessary for the calcium to work. So whether it's your bones, your muscles, connective tissues, your skin, your immune system, or any other area of the body that needs calcium, you're going to need the right chemistry for you to replenish any deficiencies there. So keep in mind, definitely keep in mind that when you use a whole food calcium supplement, that mega doses are really not necessary, and you should be able to stay away from those supplements the rest of your life. In my experience, the mega doses are just isolated petrochemicals, and that's what they are. So definitely you can get a lot done with the right balance. You don't have to overdo it. It's like a sledgehammer, you know, just overdo it. It's my experience that when you get the whole food chemistry with calcium that's supposed to be there, you can rectify a lot of problems that are calcium deficient in the system within like 3 or 4 months, or even sooner, depending on how depleted you are. But make sure it's whole food, because some people are so used to, you know, reading supplement labels and seeing a string of chemicals, and they have forgotten what whole food literally looks like and how it's spelled. So I'll give you an example. If the supplement lists vitamin C, it should list it as a source of vitamin C from, like, does it list it as ascorbic acid, or does it list it as derived from rose hips? Rose hips would be a natural form of vitamin C and not a chemical form from a laboratory. So it's cheaper and faster to make, you know, ascorbic acid in the lab. Just mix a few chemicals together, and FDA has standardized that, and then voila. But most of that comes from China. So you have really, our life source is plants. That's where we get our life source today. So we definitely want to make sure that we're getting the rich life source from our plants. Plants really contain the nutrients in and of themselves. They're considered balanced chemistry. And this is basically the medicine God gave us. So plants can help heal broken bones, And, of course, our Native American Indians understood that. They called comfrey that I like to use as one of the rich sources of calcium. They called comfrey root bone knit because they used it to heal a broken bone. It was very significant. The plant has the proper chemistry to feed the bones in order to repair the break. You know, if children do not get the right nutrition while they're growing, it can stunt their growth and, of course, lead to other health problems down the road. So as we age, we still need whole food nutrition, and it provides the body with the organic whole foods, including your herbs, and the body knows what to do with it. And it regenerates your system. So definitely check out the calcium formula by the folks at Apothecary Herbs. You will find that basically at thepowerherbs.com, or you can call their toll-free number and request a free product catalog. That number is toll-free at 866-229-3663. And, of course, the calcium formula, it's a liquid, will be in the catalog. 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., dial 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. Both those phone numbers will be listed on the PowerHerbs.com website, thepowerherbs.com. And that's the Apothecary Herbs official website. Check that out. You can use the search key to type in calcium, or you can go to the herbal tinctures section and find it there. Now, if you're on the site and you want to being enlightened and encouraged and empowered with information that you can get in your email each week, do sign up for their free online newsletters that you can sign up there under the Books and Newsletters tab. You have to have an email address to get the newsletters. That's how they're sent out. And you can sign up for the American Survival newsletter that goes out on Tuesday, or the Health Quest that goes out later in the week. And both are full of natural healing therapies that you won't hear about anywhere else. And it's empowering for you. It encourages you to know that there's another way. Medicine doesn't know about it. And basically, medicine only knows about the things that manage your disease and controls your disease or your symptoms of it, rather than actually reversing and curing you of it. So that's not so lucrative. Healing people is not so lucrative for them. They like to produce a lot of drugs and surgery, and I think medicine highlights itself as valuable in trauma care, very, very necessary. But for internal medicine disorders, I have found over the years it's basically a lack of minerals that creates a cascading effect of disease. So we have to get back to the basics and get this nutrition in and watch the body regenerate and heal itself. Oh, I can see by the clock we're going to have to take a break. But we come back, we have more health news, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more.
When I was a little boy,
when I was just a boy,
the devil called my name.
When I was just a boy,
I say now.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need apothecary herbs.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free, 866-229-3663, or international callers, 704-875-8010. That's toll free, 866-229-3663, or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
We're back. Oh, so a foreboding music there, Frank. Well, hey, times that we live in. Well, I thought, you know, we kind of go back in time a little bit for a little segment here about, it's about ancient government healthcare and see how it relates to healthcare today. I think it might be cool. So when archaeologists uncover remains of ancient cities, they use a technology to not only locate where these cities are with satellites, but they can also analyze human remains now to determine the health of the inhabitants. Ancient texts will also paint a picture of how the society functioned and what knowledge got passed around to our modern society. But in some instances, these pieces to the puzzles can reveal early government-run healthcare and how society was run and how it relates to us today. Let's check it out. So let's go to ancient Egypt, because archaeologists have uncovered enough evidence to determine that ancient Egypt had a healthcare system that afforded neighborhood clinics. Ancient tablets show that workers could take a paid sick day to visit these clinics where they got treated, and in most instances it was all free. Does that sound familiar? Osteoarchaeology, this is a new specialty in archaeology where the bones of humans and animal remains are studied and they call it osteoarchaeology. So studying these bones, especially around the Nile River near the ancient city of Luxor, they found that labor workers of their day endured grueling work conditions because of the wear and tear that showed on the bones, similar to the bones of the European knights of the 1100s, where their bones also showed wear and tear, having to beef up their muscles in order to support all that heavy armor. So it showed up in their bones. Well, also the village cemeteries have a lot of evidence. Most ancient settlements have dedicated cemetery areas, and at some cities in Egypt, there were ancient tablets detailing healthcare and even implying subsidized healthcare among workers for the ruling class or for the pharaohs. So the Egyptian state seemed to have picked up the cost of healthcare on their workers who are stressed by the pressure of their physical labor. So the Egyptians kept daily written accounts of work records similar to a time card and the comprehensive healthcare records as well. So due to the nature of the work required by the Egyptian state, some of the workers may not be able to take advantage of the care due to maybe they were on location or for some other reason. So bones can reveal when an illness occurred and if that person received timely treatment. So much like today, ancient workers felt pressure to go to work when they were sick or even when they were experiencing disabling conditions. So one mummy actually showed signs of working while they were having a blood-borne infection called osteomyelitis. So lots of inflammation and pain, and when working with the injured joints, it compounded the damage. So why would a worker suffer and keep working? Well, according to the ancient tablet writings, these state workers owed money to the state, so financial obligations forced them to continue to work when they shouldn't be. So in our modern times, we might find a similar case if a person had to work simply to keep health insurance or to pay off school debt or any other number of debts. Here's a quote from Anne Austin. She's the Stanford University archaeologist. She says, "The more I learn about Egypt, the more similar I think ancient Egypt society is compared to modern American society. Things that we consider creations of modern conditions, such as healthcare and labor strikes, were also visible as far as into the past in ancient Egypt," she says. She goes on to say, "Ancient Egyptian ideas about healthcare and disease are much like modern America." Wow. Well, let's go to the Valley of the Kings. That's where they supposedly buried the ancient pharaohs. So most people remember the most famous pharaoh, King Tut, the boy king, found in the Valley of the Kings. Let's see, he was supposedly been a ruler in the 19th and 20th dynasties, and this area housed, the Valley of the Kings housed all these kings from these dynasties, and this area housed thousands of workers, and it left evidence of how their society functioned. So in that day, the public had a common degree of literacy taught to them by the state, similar to the U.S. public school system. Written records show that they were highly educated in engineering, as evidenced by personal and business-type letters, bills of invoices, along with lawsuits that had been uncovered. And these documents survived. They were written on clay tablets, so they survived the timetable there. And some scraps of papyrus also have survived. But in Egypt, the remains of mummies not considered associated with royal families or even the elites were being studied. And in these remains, the remains of the laborers, it shows the work that they did in the Valley of the Kings was quite brutal. So there's evidence that they had a hard climb in the terrain to get to the work site. And then what was once a lush forest was now a desert, you know. So they're having to you know, go through a thick, dense forest of lush forest to get to the work site. It wasn't just, you know, sand. So the archaeologists referred to this as the 1,000 stone step from the work camp to the Valley of the Kings. And There were no stone steps, though, for the workers to walk on, and they had to climb through this rugged mountain terrain for an hour to get to their work site. So the camp was an hour from the work site. And it was considered an honor to work on the royal tombs. And the bones were showing that their joints endured arthritic inflammation and hard wear from those conditions. So the workers at these locations had a lot of bone damage compared to the workers that were assigned to maybe cemetery duty and burial duty. So the unearthed evidence is showing that workers would work until they became disabled, at which time then they took the state took good care of them, according to the writing. So evidence is showing that if a person was born disabled, then the state found another type of work for them to do. And once the tombs were completed, well, the village that the state was supporting ceased to exist. It closed up. Okay. So what about social responsibility? Well, there's evidence also that was unearthed that since the Egyptians relied on the state to care for their care, that the average families would often neglect to look after other family members. You know, they figured the state was doing it. Kind of sounds familiar. So a will, they discovered this will was written by a woman called Naruakite, and she birthed 8 children, and she disinherited 4 of her children for neglecting her in her old age. Much like, you know, in America, socialism in the ancient Egypt world changed the way people viewed health, disease, retirement, aging family members, and so forth. Well, let's look at these two different systems for a minute. So in the ancient Egypt, the elite had their own separate system from the labor part of society. The highly educated professionals, the engineers and physicians, well, they had their own healthcare network. So the state subsidized the professionals, offering more perks. So this level of society also stayed separate and did not mingle with the lower class. So the professionals were buried in tombs, whereas the labor class was not. And an interesting element is that the professional class did take care of their aged family members, so they didn't neglect them. And divorce was shunned upon in the professional class area, and there was more pressure not to neglect family or risk being disinherited and losing status. Then, you know what else they had in the ancient world, Frank? They had workman's comp. Yeah. They did. They had workman's comp. And Frank's asking, and this was after Joseph stole all they owned in return for wheat and made it all the property of the state. Communist state thing. Well, that's a good point, Frank. Well, they did have workman's comp. So in Egypt, they offered some form of what is called today workman's compensation. So the professional class received the better and extensive care over the working class. And archaeologist Barry Kemp of Cambridge University is stating that the ancient Egyptian city of Tell El Amarna on the eastern bank of the Nile River, about 194 miles south of Cairo, he said he found a cemetery there. So the city is dated to about 1350 BC. And building these ancient cities took lots of manpower, and with it came injuries. So Professor Kemp noted the injuries from the male workers in the cemetery due to heavy labor, malnutrition, and trauma. And most of the injuries were abdomen-related, followed by upper or lower limb injuries and spine injuries. So out of 400 skeletons examined, 158 had scurvy, hauling these heavy limestone blocks around that can, you know, fall on a person or cause back problems is pretty evident in the remains, he says. So children as young as 8 were often used for labor, and their bones were also found showing wear from heavy labor. So let's see what the Greeks were doing compared to the Egyptians. Ancient healthcare was a huge discussion in the ancient societies. where the Egyptians thought disease was from a type of contamination in the body that needed to be purged, the Greeks looked at it a little differently and thought of disease as a system in balance. So the Greek and Egyptian physicians are known throughout history as being highly advanced, and much of our modern medicine stems from their work. For example, modern germ theory came from the Egyptians and showed their thinking that disease was external. Well, and guess what else they had in the ancient world, Frank? They had food stamps. Yeah, they did. According to the Smithsonian, there's evidence that the Egyptian government provided, in addition to health care and sick pay, they also provided housing, monthly payments of grain, and servants to run the home. So papyrus records show that workers were assigned company doctors, and each crew had a physician assigned to them. Details are telling us that each physician was accompanied by an assistant, and all were paid by the state. So here is a quote by the Smithsonian, February 2015. They said, among the texts discovered are numerous records detailing when and why workmen were absent from work. Almost a third of the absences were a result of sick leave. The workers continued to receive their monthly rations from the state and were very consistent, even if the worker was away from work several days. So they had state care, obviously. What is it, Frank? Seems like free health care, food stamps, et cetera, always been devices of tyrants to keep the people from killing them. Well, you could look at it that way, Frank. Yes, you could. Well, what about medications? You know, people today get, you know, cards from insurance companies to help pay for their drugs. What did they do in the ancient world? Well, the Smithsonian also found documents showing that the Egyptian government was involved in the manufacturing of medicines. So medicine was rationed by the state. However, the elite had access to the most expensive medicines, and the cheap ingredients were used for the medicines for the labor workers. So as you can imagine, the labor force was supposed to be to supplement their treatment and their care for their family members, and ancient Egypt had a complex social system, and this affected all aspects of their living. So, however, the state did provide necessary care for the poor who could not provide for themselves, and the skilled craftsmen and the professional engineers were highly valued, and they received better care from the state and had access to other privileges. So the same social system in many ways applies today, where the college-educated professional receives better job pay benefits over the blue-collar worker, let's say. And this is an ancient picture of socialized living, socialized healthcare, government-run stuff. And is it any wonder why the U.S. government or any country wants to take over healthcare to control the people, just like you mentioned, Frank? Let's look at this. Let's do a little recap here. So if we look at the ancient world and compare to the U.S. government today, we see a lot of similarities. Healthcare that is trying to be socialized and run by the government, government housing, zoning restrictions, and environmental restrictions, government's subsidized benefits, government socialized programs for the poor and disabled, government socialized retirement, government food programs including food stamps and subsidized farming, as well as time cards, W-2 forms, and 1099 reports, just not on stone anymore or papyrus, and also taxes were in the ancient world as well. So we also see that privilege extended to the upper class or the elite, and if you look at Congress, don't they have better health care benefits, a better health care program? Don't they have better privileges compared to the average U.S. citizen? Think about it. So if we put aside the modern advancements, how is the modern world really any better than the Egyptian society over 2,000 years ago? And we essentially have the same setup, but it's just called different names. Interesting. And you know what? And we're going back to hieroglyphics, Frank. Just like the Egyptians had hieroglyphics. If you look, all your technology and your computer stuff, it's all these symbols now. It's, you know, less writing. It's symbols, you know. Especially, you know, if I go up on the platform for, let's say, the website to do any work, there's like three dots, and you click on it, and it drops down, and there's more descriptions. But there's a lot of just symbolism, like hieroglyphics. It's interesting how that works. But personally, you know, when it comes to healthcare, I prefer the natural way to preserve health, and I look at looking after my own healthcare as a personal responsibility that God gave me, and He also gave me tools. He gives everybody tools, and He says in the book from Genesis to Revelation, herbs, they're here to heal you. They're for the service of man, the healing of the nations, and God can't lie. So if we look at herbs, we see they have inhibitors to a lot of, you know, dangerous pathogens like Ebola, hemorrhagic fevers, shingles virus, zoster virus. So herbs have power. They have power even against modern plagues that we're having right now. For instance, astragalus root inhibits COVID-19, according to the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health, because zinc is an immune system element, a mineral, and it seems to block COVID's ability to replicate inside your cells. So it's a mineral, and it's natural, and it's here for us, and God put it in a lot of plants like astragalus root. Astragalus root has a really high zinc profile, so that's what we're using, is zinc from astragalus. And it's readily available, and it helps support your immune function. So now's the time to really get educated on what organic, basic, accessible, reasonably priced tools that you can use to protect yourself rather than having to risk yourself to a lot of medical science that could be, well, rife with fraud. So give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call and get their product catalog. You'll be amazed what you can do with some herbal tools. 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. Or 828-469-5972. International 828-469-5972. With thepowerherbs.com is the web address, thepowerherbs.com. And don't forget, they're having their Valentine's Day sale. It's still going on. It ends Saturday, the 20th. So you can save 25% on orders of $50 or more using their coupon code HEART20. It's details are on the homepage, but you can use it over the phone, HEART20. Some restrictions do apply, but the sale will end on Saturday. So this is a good time to stock up on what you need and try what you haven't. And you'll be thinking of trying it. So this is a good time to do it and save money. ThePowerHerbs.com. I can see we have a few minutes, so I thought I'd touch on this one topic here where people are understanding the pressure and the paradigm between what used to be don't vaccinate expected mothers and now do vaccinate expected mothers. Very controversial concept still today. Women with children, physicians struggle with that new science that they want to push the vaccines on expected mothers. But there's been some studies, though, that have indicated that all vaccines are safe, including for pregnant women. And that reassures the public, supposedly, that things like even flu shots are fine for the unborn baby. Well, we're going to take a look at this. This is a study reported at the Journal of the American Medical Association. This is November 2016. They stated there was no association between a mother getting flu shots and risking her child to be autistic. This was run by Kaiser Permanente. It involved 197,000 children born to flu-vaccinated mothers between the year 2000 and 2010. So the mothers were given flu vaccine during their 6 month of pregnancy. So the study of these vaccines were administered not before the 6 month the second trimester. So they didn't note anything about flu shots during the first trimester. They didn't establish also in this study any causality. They did not validate by standardizing the clinical assessment of all the cases, and they had no control group for other possible unmeasured mitigating factors. So the study had some flaws in it. And but they're saying they found no association between autism risk and women getting influenza vaccines while they were pregnant. But Dr. Kelly, this was a Dr. Kelly Brogan, he's the author of A Mind of Your Own. He is saying women should really not be given any kind of medicine by the pharmaceutical companies, especially when it could affect the unborn baby. What, of course, she is saying is that women have a natural innate ability to protect their child, and they shouldn't receive any undue pressure and be made fearful from the medical establishment to even suggest they're being neglectful if they don't take a flu shot. She tells women, don't relinquish your God-given power to your doctor. She feels that too many doctors are blindly following whatever the medical doctrine is published at the moment, and she does not agree that women should, that are pregnant, should be vaccinated. And, you know, the old medical textbook said absolutely not. Now, according to Dr. Brogren, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices changed the vaccine therapy for pregnant women in 1997 without any explanation. Other changes occurred in 2004. She says, to our knowledge, there were not any in-depth completed vaccine studies to warrant these changes. And the change grew to encompass everyone over the age of 6 months, including pregnant women, regardless of the individual personal risk factors listed in the patient's record. You know, so she states that the vaccine have never been studied in a double-blind, real placebo-controlled manner. The establishment has made it unethical to really study certain pharmaceutical products, basically in such a way, you know, where's the golden standard is what she's saying. She says, unfortunately, she says there's a they skew the results. They discard insignificant data such as low birth rate or fetal loss and spontaneous abortion. They don't even consider that a reaction from the shot. They use incomplete controls, and that confounds the variables, and that levels off the playing field. She says, and there's no confirmation of the influenza, and there's no focus on the gross outcome instead of the preterm births and the neurodevelopmental problems kids have. So they were kind of isolating some of the problems kids would have, and they didn't want to associate that with the vaccine, so they didn't even consider those groups. So another issue that Dr. Brogan points out is that all unnatural ingredients in your flu vaccine expose people to unidentified risks like viral DNA from the animal tissue, allergen hypersensitivities, polysorbate 80, which assists the disease to cross your blood-brain barrier, formaldehyde, carcinogens, detergents, and antibiotics and mercury also travel to your brain that are in the vaccine as well. So food for thought. I'm out of time, but do your homework on all your treatments that are recommended to you. And don't forget the powerherbs.com, their Valentine's Day sale, 25% off now through Saturday the 20th. Take advantage of that. Details on the homepage or call 866-229-3663 for more information. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.